We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, I'm Andy Herman of the Pack a Day podcast. I'm here to tell you about Tick Pick. Tick Pick should be your very first choice to buy football tickets because they save fans money by never charging any service fees ever. TickPick is the exclusive ticketing partner for the Pack-A-Day podcast and the Blue Wire Network.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast. I'm Steve Burridge, joined as always by Dusty Evely, but no Sarah Kelleher out on the IR this week. Apparently there's she's just not feeling well. Just so everybody knows, she did get a negative COVID test, so that's a very good thing. But out for the week, just not feeling great, so hopefully she feels better. But you got Dusty and I that'll recap the Bengals game, talk Pat McAfee, talk about the Bears game coming up, and run through all of it. But let's start off. Dusty, how you feeling, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. I got a big thing for work that I've been working on for like 8 months. It's kind of finally kind of coming to a head next week. So things are hectic and I am very tired, but I can actually see like kind of a light at the end of the tunnel there, which is nice. So doing good. Packers got a win. It didn't necessarily feel like a win, but the Packers got a win. I'm doing well, all things considered. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Work's a little crazy today, but overall, it's good to be talking about the Packers, the 4-1 Packers, man. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody really thought we'd be saying that after week one. So, doing really good. But let's talk a little bit about the Bengals game. It was some craziness and a whole crap ton of missed kicks, but you know, what was a positive takeaway that you had from the game?
I think the defense continues to impress. I mean, they're doing some good things. I think, you know, Burrow, you know, had a couple picks there. He wasn't always making the best decisions, but I mean, they were getting constant pressure on him. I think given the pressure he was under, he made some really nice throws and some really good decisions in spite of that. But they were, I mean, it was constant pressure. Campbell was playing well again, you know, until he went out with an injury. And I'm not sure the status of that. Kevin King was playing his best game in potentially years. He looked tremendous. So I really liked the defense. The defense was looking good. And after a rocky start, the passing offense, it was still a little jumbled at times, but they seemed to hit their stride a little bit as well, which was nice. So, I mean, yeah, you had the missed kicks, which was not great. We also got to see some really nice kind of Rodgers kind of last minute heroics again with some really nice throws, kind of set up field goals, and some of those field goals missed. But he once again was kind of they know what they're doing in those late game situations. I love, man, when they spiked the ball, I think before the game winner. It would have been the game winner to end the game. How fast to get up to the line. Those throws to the middle of the field, I think they had 12 seconds left or something like that. And that they got that completion and just they run up like everyone knows what they're doing immediately. And just that kind of late game execution, you know, a lot of times you see that and it's tough to tell exactly, you know, what coaching does for a team. It's hard to kind of quantify that sometimes. When you see stuff like that and just some of the other little things they do, those kind of late game situations where everyone knows, get up to the line, here's where I line up, no one move, here's how we spike. Just a really well-coached team in those end of game situations, which, you know, I don't know, might come in handy for some playoff games or something. So I don't know. That's one of my big takeaways, Steve. They're spiking. Their spiking was nice.
Yeah, I think there was like 20 seconds left before that play, and I was listening to the game, and Jonathan Vilma did a great job as an announcer, but he's like, oh yeah, you really got to make sure you're watching the sidelines. They're watching the sidelines. There's not enough time to clock the ball. And I started laughing to myself, like, dude, who have you been watching? Like, there's 20 seconds. There's plenty of time for them to, like, this is what they do. And then you got the little Rodgers fist pump thinking he had just won the game. So, that was pretty impressive. And then, like you highlighted before, I think the play of Devondre Campbell has been just amazing. Like, for somebody that they signed off the streets, it's always been we'll see what we can get. And this is one of the lottery tickets that they signed that actually has paid off so far, which is really cool to see. So really happy that they've got a really solid inside linebacker. I'm really excited to see what Jalen Smith is going to be, how he's going to be used coming up in this next game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was super, super exciting game, crazy game, you know, celebrations on field goals that didn't go in. I mean, it had a little bit of everything into it. It was just a interesting game to watch. And by the end of it, I was just laughing. I didn't even know what else to do. So it's laughing. We did have a prop bet for that one as well. And it was pretty simple. We just did, are the Green Bay Packers going to turn the ball over on offense? And they did. Unfortunately, Rodgers did have that interception, so they did turn the ball over. And Sarah and I both correctly guessed that. And Dusty, you were hoping that the Packers would not turn the ball over. So again, it would have been the ones we would have been happy to lose for sure. But so now standings are sitting 4-1 for me. Sarah is 3-2, and you are sitting in the cellar at 1-4, buddy. You have to start fading yourself, I think.
Yeah, no, I actually tried to fade myself last week. as well as what happened there. Cincinnati had weird games, but I decided to fade myself. I pulled a Costanza. I'm gonna make the opposite decision. And it turns out that was wrong. That was incorrect last week. So
all right, so let's get going. A little bit of news on the Packers front. They did sign veteran cornerback Quentin Dunbar to the practice squad. So there's that move with Jair being on the IR now, with Kevin King being injured. So there's a new cornerback in the cornerback room for them. Also, Seattle has released Trey Flowers, and Desmond Trufant was also released. So a couple of other names hit the market, potential to see if the Packers will put in a waiver claim for either of those guys. But as of right now, Quentin Dunbar is the move. What do you think, Dusty?
He's a body, and they need bodies. I mean, he seems fine. Like, I like him just fine. I don't know that I'm in love with particularly any of these guys at this stage. But, you know, he's, I don't know, an intriguing name. He's someone, I think Peter Bukowski said something like, if they had signed Quentin Dunbar the offseason instead of bringing back Kevin King, I would have been happy with it, which I think is likely how I would have felt as well. So, I mean, at this point, it's, man, 5 games into the season, that cornerback room's looking rough. I'm happy with, like, people that I know that have put good things on tape in the past. So I'm not really high. I'm not really low. I'm just, well, they need to bring someone in, and this is a guy they brought in. So I'm fine with it, I guess. I am perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, trying to find a high-quality cornerback in week 5 of the NFL season is a very difficult thing on the street. So if you're not trading for somebody, if you're not, willing to pay a high price for, you know, if they would have made a move for Richard Sherman a week or two ago, sure, that would have been something. But yeah, it's for week 5. It's a good move. It's fine. It is what it is. Hopefully, you know, they've had a little luck signing some guys so far. So hopefully he'll hit. Hopefully, you know, Jalen Smith will do some good things. But another, you can't complain at another body for the cornerback room right now.
Yeah.
Tuesday means the Pat McAfee show. I was able to watch a little of it. I know you were able to watch a clip or two. So, Dusty, we'll just start with you before I go through a couple other things. But you were able to kind of listen in on the longer segment of his comments on the John Gruden situation. So any big takeaway you had from that?
No, I mean, I like a couple things I really liked about it. I liked his take on it. I like,
you know, a lot of times you'll get, you know, kind of calls or follow up questions or some interruptions every now and then from Pat McAfee or the boys, I guess the boys over there as well, to kind of chime in, say something. They just kind of let them go. I was looking at Rogers and I'd kind of look over at McAfee a little bit as well. McAfee just kind of sit back absorbing it. I kind of like to let him go. But I mean, his main message was like, listen, like what the things he said were unacceptable. That stuff can't fly. Like that can't happen in a locker room. But he said, you know, the guys in the locker room, they know that. And like he said, everyone in the locker room, every locker room I've ever been on, these guys, like we, you know, every guy is treated the same. And if a coach can't see that, and a coach can't treat guys like that, you kind of lose respect as a coach. And in this age as we currently are now, he said, you know, there's coaches showing more empathy perhaps than there was in the past. And just this kind of this shift since he's been in the league of some of what he's seen both in the locker room and among coaching staff. So he's like, this is something like these guys that are in the locker room with how they're treated, with how we talk to each other, with how we all communicate with some of the issues of the day. This is something that if a coach, this comes out and a coach says that just won't fly. And hearing that, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of takes around this. I know I certainly have my own, but I mean, hearing that from a guy, a veteran who's been around forever, who lives in those locker rooms and has been in that locker room and has seen a bunch of guys come and go, that kind of has the feel for what goes on, for the pulse of that locker room and how guys react and how guys interact with each other in there. Hearing that take, like it was a 4 or 5 minute clip of him talking about that. Hearing that kind of thoughtful response about kind of the inner workings of that locker room from a guy who's been there for a very long time, I thought was just very, very interesting. Kind of aside of the game we don't see very often. A lot of times, you know, you get some of those, you know, locker room comments or locker room interviews, which we have not gotten in the past 2 years, I guess. But you get a taste for some of that. But I think this was just, it kind of opened the door in a way that I think I hadn't really seen at that level before. So it was just hearing him talk about that, I thought was really, really interesting.
You couldn't agree more. A couple of things I took from that segment was, like you had said, that he was very proud of the fact that those aren't the views that he feels are in his locker room or the locker rooms he's been a part of in the past, and that players, that's not how they see the world. But the one thing I did like is one of the things he really opened with was he said, you have to leave space for people to grow and learn.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I thought was an amazing comment. I really thought it was deep and thoughtful. And he was able to say that while then saying John Gruden had has the space and the ability to grow and learn from the things that he said, doesn't mean that he should have that have the job anymore. Like yeah. that was a very like cut and dry caveat of that statement, because you know, too often nowadays it's you say something stupid and you're done forever. And like there is that growth and that ability for people to learn, like you said. I think that's a really important thing for people to really look at. So I really loved that. He also brought out a new book for the Aaron Rodgers Book Club. It is You Are the Universe by Deepak Chopra. I can honestly tell you I have not read that one. Doubtful that I'm going to get through it in this week. What about you, Dusty? You think you ever read that one?
I've not. No. I mean, I know him. I'm familiar with the name and some of his writings. I've never read that book. I'm starting the Amityville Horror, Steve. I don't have time for that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's okay. Last season of Shameless just came out on Netflix. So I'm
See, we all have our very highbrow, high value things we're going after here, Steve.
It's a different type of book club. Different type of book club. And then the only other big thing that kind of came through all this was he was talking a little bit about how inflated he likes a football. And, you know, there's the narrative that he likes an overinflated ball. And then we got to hear the story of where that came from. And that was Phil Sims, shockingly, where he was in a pre-show meet or a pre-game meeting with them and talked about how he prefers to have it at, and this was at like peak of Deflategate, and how he likes to have a ball inflated to like 13 to 13.5 PSI because, to quote Aaron Rodgers, he has big hands and strong grip pressure. I don't know, like where that, like nobody ever said anything about his hands or his grip pressure, but he needed to make sure that got out there. But, you know, he wanted to debunk the narrative of Phil Sims. And if we've all listened to Phil Sims before, I don't think anybody's really shocked that he didn't come out with the full truth. But I'm just glad that he was able to air those grievances and make sure that we all are aware of, you know, that Aaron Rodgers has a big, has big hands and a strong grip pressure. So, you know, definitely was doubting that previously, but glad it's all clear now. Dusty, let's get it going, man. Bears week. It's an exciting
Bears
time. Bears week. They've got a rookie quarterback. They're, you know, hot to track because they're 3-2 and they have a winning record for the first time in forever. But we're going to do what we always do. Obviously, minus Sarah again, but Packers offense versus the Bears defense. And we'll talk about one of the things that you're going to be looking at this week during the game. So why don't you hit us with what you're looking at?
Yeah, we're five games in at this point, and so you know it's enough to kind of look at some of these numbers and make some sense out of them. So one of the big things last year, you know, Packers last year, they were scoring touchdowns on – they ended up the season scoring touchdowns on 76.8% of trips in the red zone or gold zone, which was number one in the league. You know, they dominated that area all year, and they came with a lot of really nice designs and a lot of really good execution down there. Now – that stuff, a lot of times red zone scoring, some of that stuff can be a little fluky. It's not necessarily sustainable year over year. So a little bit of a drop was expected there for sure, just for 1,000 different factors, but not quite like this. So last year, again, they were averaging 3.8 trips to the red zone through the 2020 season, and they were scoring touchdowns on 76.8% of those. So far this year, they are getting an average of four trips to the red zone per game. So right in line, 3.8 last year, 4 this year. They're scoring touchdowns on 55% of their trips to the red zone. So through five games last year, they were 66.7. So they were still kind of building up. They were not where they were, you know, they weren't 76% all year, but they kind of had a rough week one, and they were scoring like the previous three games leading up to week five, they were scoring at 80%. So they were ramping up even at this point last year. They were kind of finding their form and they kind of sustained that all year. So far this year, I think they had 40% last week, 50% over the last three, and 55% overall, which puts them real low. I think they're between the Titans and the Jets as far as red zone efficiency. I believe they're 27th in the league scoring touchdowns in the red zone. And so that's one thing in of itself. Now, some of that is their offensive line. Has been banged up. They've not had a Bakhtiari all year. They've had moving pieces. Some of that running game, you don't necessarily get the push down there that you would necessarily expect, likely with your starters in there. So some of those holes aren't there to run through. So that's part of it. But some of it also just, it feels a little hard. They had a really nice touchdown to Randall Cobb, you know, a couple games ago off a really nice variation that I talked on and wrote about that week. Well, this week they had a sprint out to the left. That's a tough throw to make, even for Aaron Rodgers. A sprint out to the left, your only option is Randall Cobb. You're throwing across your body while running full speed laterally. Now, that's a throw Aaron Rodgers can make, but that almost got jumped and picked off. Like some of those, they're making it a little hard on themselves, I think partially because the running game is going. Now they're going up against a Bears team. I'll pull my numbers up here. They're going up against a Bears team that's allowing touchdowns on 37.5% of opponent trips to the red zone. They're third in the league at red zone defense, the Bears are. And so, I mean, this is going to be, you know, I think that the Bengals game this past week, again, they scored on 40%. That game's over if they score touchdowns down there at the clip they were last year. And so this is one of those Bears team, you know, they've got a pretty good defense. The offense, we don't really know what they are right now. Justin Fields, I think, is an upgrade over Dalton, still a rookie. I think there's going to be fits and starts, but they're a good enough team to be feisty, to hang around. And they can certainly hang around if you're kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns in the red zone. And so, again, the Bears are not going to make it easy on them, but this is something not just for this game, but that going forward, just, you know, I don't expect them to score 78% of the time or 76% of the time in the red zone, but That needs to jump up. 55% ain't going to cut it, you know, especially in the playoffs. We're a long way from the playoffs, but this is a game that if they settle for field goals in the red zone, that could come back to bite them against the Bears here. So that's the big area I'm looking at. When they get in the red zone, you've got to punch it in, man.
Packers football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Packer tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site, and the only one you'll ever need is your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats at another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the the difference in the purchase price. Personally, I can't wait for that first game back at Lambeau Field, Packers-Lions with fans in the stands again. I've already got my tickets from TickPick, and I'll be there watching Monday Night Football in person. I absolutely cannot wait. Visit tickpick.com/packaday today and use promo code PACKADAY to save $10 on your first order of Packers tickets.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm going to be looking at the rushing offense kind of combined with the offensive line because, you know, it was definitely not a great showing for the rush game for the offensive line against the Bengals. If you take out that big Aaron Jones run, I mean, I think they only had like 19 rushes for 50 some yards outside of that big one. So I didn't like a lot of the rush calls. Like I didn't understand a lot where, you know, it didn't make sense to me. So, you know, the Bears rush defense right now, statistically, thanks to Dusty for helping me with this, but their DVOA for rush defense is 11th. Their pass defense is 4th. So I really am looking for the Packers to try to establish that run game because that sets up everything that they do. That sets up their play action game. That sets up the deep ball. That sets up pretty much everything that they can do out of that offense. And when you're struggling and nobody's biting on play action, like, I mean, I love Matt LaFleur. I didn't really think anybody was biting too hard in overtime on the play action calls. Like I just, maybe not run some of those, but so just looking to get back to what they've been really good at with Aaron Jones, with AJ Dillon, you know, even he wasn't hitting those 4 or 5 yards a clip that he normally was doing. So that Bengals defense was better than everybody thought, but yeah, it's something that they really need to get back to being very effective if they want to have another win under their belt against the Bears. So that is what I'm looking for. Kind of got creative this week, Dusty, on our prop bet. So do you want to break this one down or you want me to do it?
Let's get it. Okay, so you know, we every week we look at prop bets and we usually get what are the rushing yards, what's the defense, what's the average, what's the turnovers, all that. But listen, man, Allen Robinson hasn't been doing much so far this year. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Davante Adams has been doing things so far this year. Went over 200 yards this past week, which is insane. And some people are upset about it for reasons I can't quite understand. But what we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, you take Davante Adams' total yards, you chop that in half. Does Allen Robinson have more than half of Davante Adams' yards? So if Davante Adams has 200 yards and Allen Robinson has 101, Allen Robinson wins because he has one more yard than 50% of Davante Adams' yards. So that's what we are going to do. Over under, Allen Robinson, more than 50% of Davante Adams' yards. And I guess I'm going first okay. Since I'm the low man on the totem pole here. At some point, you guys are going to have to help me out and have me go last because I'm dying here, man. I'm dying here.
You can go last. Do you want to go last? I'll let you go last.
No, I'm good because I already know what I'm going to do. I was just, that was performative is what it was, Steve.
Robinson hasn't done much. His biggest game was in week four, which was Fields' first start. Granted, 63 yards, three catches on three targets. But, I mean, so far, this is yards by game. 35, 24, 27, 63, 32. Now the Bears, you know, good pass defense. But the Packers are, I mean, Adams is in a zone right now. They were doubling him, and he was still getting open. That big 59-yard catch or whatever.
I was gonna say, that deep ball, he just ran right between them.
Yeah, yeah, he was doubled. They were doubling that a little more, and the Packers used that to their advantage a little bit, but he can beat it. So I'm just going to go based on what Rodgers and Devontae are doing. I'm going to go Devontae Adams. I think Allen Robinson's going to get his looks. He's going to get his targets, but I think the Bears are going to try to slow ground this one out if they can. Dink and dunk, protect Fields a little bit, and I think Adams is going to be the guy. I think it's going to be hard to run against, and so I think they're trying to pass. So I hope this is not the kiss of death and Devontae Adams has 5 yards this week, because I have picked him, but I'm going to go Devontae Adams on this one.
Yeah, and we're waiting, hoping Sarah will respond, but she might be asleep. So if she does, like, we'll let her obviously just put it out on Twitter. We'll put it on Twitter when we find out what her answer is. But I'm going to be agreeing with you, Dusty. I think I'm going to be taking the under that Robinson will not. I think Devontae Adams is doing way too much. And I mean, if you put Jalen Johnson on him, who I believe is their top corner, I fully believe in Devontae over that. And Eric Stokes can run, like he showed. I mean, he's hanging with Jamar Chase, doing a great job. And even though he is the most targeted cornerback in the NFL right now, he's still doing some really good things and continually learning and getting better. Like, he's not regressing. He's not letting it ruin his confidence, which I think is a huge thing. So yeah, I mean, I'm anticipating another 150 from Devontae. And if you're telling me Allen Robinson goes over under 75, yeah, I'd take the under. So I don't really feel that Bears offense is just lights out. And yeah, so I think that's kind of where I'm sitting. And then, yeah, as soon as we get an update on Sarah, we will let everybody know. But that leads us into our questions, and I think this is the fewest amount of questions we've ever gotten from Twitter. So, yeah, we'll just run through the two that we got, and we'll wrap it up, and we'll keep this one a little shorter. But first one is from Tyler. After the recent news, most likely involving Gruden, is there anything that you could make you abandon your Packers fandom? And then what is your best healthy food taste-wise? What would make you leave Packers fandom, Dusty?
Man, I'm sure there's something, but honestly, I hate to speculate because that kind of leads me down a dark road in terms of like kind of projecting forward. Like, well, what is it? And then I start kind of playing out these scenarios in my head of, well, and I've got a couple ideas for sure. There's things I've contemplated in the past. If certain moves have happened, well, is this something that would, you know, cause me to do that? But it's kind of one of those that I don't really want to speculate on just because it takes me down a dark line of thinking that I don't particularly care for. But I mean, I think there would be things. I mean, I think honestly, if I was a Washington football fan, I would have given up my team long ago. Sure. You know, when all this, especially when all the scandal stuff came out, whatever it was 2 years ago now or something, like that's been just a steady build of a lot of different things. And I think that probably would have been the straw that broke the camel's back at that point. But yeah, I don't, as far as Packers, I don't want to speculate, but I will say if I was a Washington fan, I probably would have walked away at this point. Best healthy food. I don't know, man. I don't, do I eat healthy foods? I've been trapped inside for like 2 years, man. I don't know. Like the Hershey chocolate bar. I'll go back to like my childhood. I don't know. I like cold carrot sticks. There's something about a cold carrot stick that I just kind of enjoy. Just sitting in like cold water. I don't know if everyone did that or if that was just my household. Carrot sticks and water in the fridge. Something about the sweetness and the crispness to them that I've always enjoyed.
Okay. Not too bad. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm on the same level as you with this. There is, yeah, absolutely. There is some sort of limit to my fandom. Like, I'm not just going to blindly follow a team if they start. I don't even know. But, yes, there's absolutely a limit to I'm not just going to blindly follow a team no matter what. It's not a I love the Packers to death and they can do no wrong. Like, absolutely, they can do things that would piss me off and send me off of the fandom, but hopefully that doesn't happen. I think they've got some strong leadership behind them, so they shouldn't be making too many horrible moves, but you never know. Crazier things have happened in the NFL. So best healthy food taste-wise, yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm the healthiest person in the world, but I would say I normally, you know, some fresh fruit salad or a big thing in my house. We get those like baby cucumbers. We'll slice those up, put just a little hint of salt and some lime on them, cut them up for the kids. Those are really good. Fresh avocado, like really good. Just cut avocado is really good with a little chicken and rice like that. Just simple stuff like that. I'm a pretty on board, but yeah, I mean, today for lunch, I had a double cheeseburger and a large soda from the Quick Trip. So let's not go out and say that I have the healthiest diet in the world. All right. And the last question is from Don, our good friend Don. With everything that went down, I don't know if you saw this. I believe it was Sunday Night Football with the rain delay. They were talking about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and how the ratios were off. And they, and the, so her question is in that vein. So is it a PB and J, a P or a J? If it's peanut butter and jelly, what's the ratio of peanut butter to jelly? Also, any fun theories as to the missed kicks at the Packers Bengals game Sunday? So what's your peanut butter and jelly? What's your, what, how do you make one?
I have no idea. 1-to-1. Probably, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, you know, glop some on. I used to get like real, I used to eat a bunch of them at work. And so I'd get like really, you know, organic sourdough bread, and I'd get the natural peanut butter and like homemade jam, and I really do it up. Now I don't do that, man, because I got, you know, kids and stuff, and it's just what's in the pantry. What do we currently have?
They would take one look at that sandwich and say, I don't want it.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no, they would throw it in the garbage, and I don't want to get rid of it. So I was probably just 1-to-1. It's whatever I glop on. I'm a big fan of seedless blackberry jam or jelly kind of my go-to on that. So I don't know if that matters, but that's kind of the way I go with that. Fun theories as to the missed kicks. I don't know, probably because of something you did, Dawn. That's probably... No, damn. I don't know. It's
damn.
I mean, love you, Don. Some of it's weirdness in Cincinnati. It's funny because you're like, well, maybe it was the wind, but like McPherson hit the flag, and like it wasn't blowing that hard. It's not like it was swirling wind on the field. I don't know, man. It was Rogers. I did see one other short clip from McAfee where he talked about someone asked about like kind of the mental stress of play, and he's like, yeah, you get a little bogged down sometimes. Like it was hot down there, and the field kind of that. Joint kind of faux artificial turf down there, like that's a little hot as well. It was our first afternoon game, and sometimes weird things happen, and weird things happen to the Packers in Cincinnati. I mean, I've mentioned this before. I was there the Favre 5 interception game when a guy came off the field and came off the stands and stole the ball out of Favre's hand while he was getting ready to throw the last pass of the game that ended in a stoppage of play, and a guard just absolutely obliterating that man. They had Jonathan Franklin popping a ball up into the air while trying to run out the clock. I mean, there's weird things happen in Cincinnati, so I'm just going to go ahead and just blame it on Cincinnati, I guess. I like Cincinnati as a town, but I'll just blame it on Cincinnati at this point.
No, I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Used to be crunchy, but I go smooth lately. Okay. I think as I got older, I don't know. I like the texture, but in the sandwich, I just don't like the texture anymore.
And then what's your go-to brand?
Oh, it's whatever the kids eat. It's I think it's Jif at this point. I used to, now if it's just me at work, like I would just have a big old jar of Peter Pan because Peter Pan creamy is just true. It's a level above. It's a level above. Oh. My kids don't like it, so I haven't had it in a while. Yeah.
Well, I respect your kids' opinion more than yours. So
I knew that. You didn't have to say it, though.
No, I think peanut butter and jelly, yeah, I'm pretty much the same, and about half and half. It's not more or less of one. And then I always, my go to move to kind of make it unique was to put potato, like Lay's potato chips in the sandwich and make it a crunchy peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I always enjoyed doing that. So that was always my go to move when I was a kid. My wife told me that she used to put Doritos in hers. So that was another one I learned about. Never heard of that one before. So same concept. And then, yeah, honestly, I know everybody was saying, and Crosby's come out and said, and LaFleur's come out and said, no, it had nothing to do with the horrible blocking for him to pull everything left. But I mean, you saw one of like the first one that he missed that, like four guys in the backfield on the right hand side that he would have naturally pulled a little left. And I don't know, I think that stuff gets in your head a little bit, but I'm down with blaming Cincinnati. That sounds about right to me, and easiest way to go. So
We got a last second question in here, Steve. Snuck under the wire from Matt Pickett. Probably too late on this, but here goes. What's your favorite thing about going to a live football game? It's not too late, Matt. Matt is probably asking because Matt went to the game this past weekend. He was at the Cincinnati game and
oh, nice.
Likely aged 10 years there on the stands and the heat and all the insanity. So since I took over this question, since I saw it, Steve, you get to go first this time. Steve, what's your favorite thing about going to a live football game?
Man, there is nothing better than getting the wave going when the Packers are on offense.
All right, we're done. Cut this off. We're done.
Is that not right? Is that not what you're supposed to do?
Incorrect. I didn't think there's a wrong answer because it's an opinion question, but that was incorrect.
Honestly, it's just like the whole ambiance of the whole thing, especially if it's a game at Lambeau, man. That's just when you that first like step of walking into the stadium and seeing the grass, and just it's like it has a whole different feel. Like it's great to watch the game, and it's an amazing they created such an amazing experience for the TV where you legit sometimes question like, well, why am I going to go to a game? Because this is perfect. Like I see all the angles, I see everything I need to, but it's that feeling that you get, you know, it's the love that you've had built up for so long for the Packers that kind of takes over. So, I mean, it's just like the whole overall experience in general to me is one of those things that it's hard to beat for the few opportunities I've had to get up there and go to a game.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, and, you know, I talked to this game before. My first game I went to was week 17 of the 07 season. That's the first time I've been to Lambeau, and it was legit tears in my eyes walking into that stadium, walking in a tunnel for the first time and seeing it. And, you know, it doesn't happen to me every single time, but you go up there and you just, every time I'm up there, I think of like that specific stadium, and I've been to some other stadiums as well, but Lambeau, it's this, the history that's happened there, you know, some of that, but just, it's the energy of the crowd, man. Like it really does kind of take over the ebbs and flows. You could, I mean, for me, you know, part of it is you can see more. I like to watch the wide receivers on offense. I like to watch the safeties on defense. And so you get that better view if you're placed up high enough, which we generally are. And so you get kind of that view of the game a little bit as well. You get to see a little better how they're setting stuff up, what they're breaking, kind of what they're looking at there. But it's, I mean, really like to get really down into it, man, it's the roar of the crowd. It's the sounds that come out of my mouth, man. When a big play happens, when everyone's going nuts, I scream like I don't at home. Cause I don't really do that at home. I don't do that when I'm watching friends at home, but you get caught up in the highs and lows at the stadium in a way you don't. Oh, I was at that game. I was at the Monday night game, that Lions game, this year. And that was just, it's just wild, man. I've been in the game in 2 years, and it just kind of takes over. So there's a thousand things I love about it. I love, you know, all the people there. I love high-fiving strangers. You know, I love drinking overpriced beer, but it's just getting involved the kind of emotionally in a way I typically don't at home, and just kind of riding those ebbs and flows. That's kind of that's it, basically.
Couldn't agree more. Well, let's finish this thing out strong. Some closing thoughts. What articles you got? What's going on you want to tell everybody about?
Yeah, man, I'm trying to blitz through it. It's been, like I said, busy week at work, and so I'm still kind of working through it a little bit. But I am kind of doing everything I can do to get my stuff out. So yesterday at Pack Report, I wrote about the Chris Barnes sack, where he kind of a really nice four-man pressure look where they overloaded one side and Chris Barnes blew up Pirine in the backfield and just held on to Burrow's shoulder and took him down. So that was like just that dialed up pressure look, which is something we didn't really see through the first game and a half of the season. But Barry's doing in a lot of phases of the defense, but some of that dialing up pressure while keeping enough guys back to kind of keep that defense sound. Like he's doing a really good job with that. And so he had a few of those this past week. I looked at that one at Packer Report. Today at Packer Report, I've got kind of a look on a screen to Kylan Hill off of a kind of a fake RPO look, and how the threat of a run and then the look to an RPO and the throwback to a screen kind of yo-yos those linebackers and opens up space underneath for the screens. That was a really fun look. That was when I kind of was like, that one might be fun to look at. And as I dug in, like it was really, really fun. So that's at Packer Report today. At Cheesehead today is going to be Passing Chronicles, which I'm desperately trying to finish before my deadline. got some slant flat stuff in there, which they ran, I think, five times this past week. Kind of got a little deep into the Y cross concept, which they ran, and just, you know, a handful of other concepts here and there. Offense was a little disjointed at times this past weekend, but when they were on and they were hitting, they threw some fun stuff out there. And it seemed like for the first time this year, really, they were kind of repeating some concepts just based on the opponent. They're running stuff out there multiple times because they had looks they were looking for. And I hadn't seen it at that level so far this year. So it was kind of fun to see that. So I've got that. And then I think at some point this week, I'm hoping tomorrow or Thursday over on my Substack, I'm going to be looking at their use of their play action bootleg concept and some. I talked about this. I was on Lockdown Packers with Peter Bukowski yesterday or 2 days ago, I guess. And kind of talked about their use of play action boot and how defenses are changing how they defend that, where they're essentially keeping a man home on the backside and covering up that boot. And the Packers are looking to find a way through that. It's less boot, some half boot stuff. And so it's a little disjointed. That's some of the disjointed stuff. But I'm going to run through that later this week as well, kind of looking at, okay, here's what's not working with their play action boot, which is a staple in this, you know, McVay, Shanahan, LaFleur system, and kind of what they're doing almost looks like changing on the fly some of the stuff they're doing to kind of protect against that. So I hope that's going to be a good look. I've got, I think, 6 plays to look at from this past week. So that should be up a little this week as well. Yeah, again, like a little disjointed, but quite a bit of fun stuff falling out of this past week.
Very cool. Only thing I've got going, my mom is actually having some surgery on Wednesday when this comes out. So fingers crossed that all goes, just to clean up a small tear in the knee. So hopefully that should go swimmingly for her. But there's that. And then I think the only thing that I want to kind of make a small comment about is just, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth between people about fandom and how to be a fan and the proper way and everything, and it just, like, and I mean, Smash Mouth got freaking taken down by Packers fans, which was just thoroughly impressive. I really appreciate it, but it's just, it comes back to like allowing people to enjoy the sport, enjoy music, enjoy whatever it is in whatever way that makes them happy. It's not about you and your fandom. Like, if you're a crazy fan and you can name all the Packers players from the 1966 team, that's amazing. That's great for you. But that doesn't mean that's the way it has to be for everybody. So, you know, don't go out of your way to make somebody feel stupid, or don't go out of your way to just be a D-bag about, you know, your team versus their fandom and how that affects you. So because, you know, as Twitter, we really react immediately to what we see happening in the exact second that it happens. And, you know, real time, that's the most important thing in the world. So take a step back, let somebody else enjoy it the way that they want to enjoy it, because it really doesn't have an effect on you. So that is my closing thought, but I want to thank everybody again for always is listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher, for at Steve Perhatch, and at Packaday Podcast. We will be back next week talking about hopefully a victory over the Bears, and Sarah should be back around for everybody. So we will we'll be back then. As always, make sure you're listening to the Packaday Podcast every single day of the week for new content from us. But thank you for listening, and as always, go Pack, go.